translation. The blasphemer said, although a sannyasi, he does not take interest in the study of Vedanta, but instead always engages in chanting and dancing in Sankirtan. Purport. Fortunately or unfortunately, we also meet such Mayavadis who criticize our method of chanting and accuse us of not being interested in study. They do not know that we have translated volumes and volumes of books into English, and that the students in our temples regularly study them in the morning, afternoon, and evening. We are writing and printing books, and our students study them and distribute them all over the world. No Mayavadi school can present as many books as we have. Nevertheless, they accuse us of not being fond of study. Such accusations are completely false. But although we study, we do not study the nonsense of the Mayavadis. Mayavadi sannyasis neither chant nor dance. Their technical objection is that this method of chanting and dancing is called Tauriyatrika, which indicates that a sannyasi should completely avoid such activities and engage his time in the study of Vedanta. Actually, such men do not understand what is meant by Vedanta. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna says, Vidaischa sarvayar aham eva vejo Vedanta krit veda vid eva chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Lord Krishna is the actual compiler of Vedanta, and whatever he speaks is Vedanta philosophy. Although they are lacking the knowledge of Vedanta presented by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental form of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mayavadis are very proud of their study. Foreseeing the bad effects of their presenting Vedanta philosophy in a perverted way, Srila Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam as a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Srimad Bhagavatam is Basyo Yam Brahma Sutranam. In other words, all the Vedanta philosophy in the aphorisms of the Brahma Sutra is thoroughly described in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus, the factual propounder of Vedanta philosophy is a Krishna-conscious person who always engages in reading and understanding the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and teaching the purport of these books to the entire world. The Mayavadis are very proud of having monopolized the Vedanta philosophy, but devotees have their own commentaries on Vedanta, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and others written by the Acharyas. The commentary of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is Govinda Basya. The Mayavadis' accusation that devotees do not study Vedanta is false. The Mayavadis do not know that chanting, dancing, and preaching the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, called Bhagavat Dharma, are the same as studying Vedanta. Since they think that reading Vedanta philosophy is the only function of a sannyasi, and they do not find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in such direct study, they criticized the Lord. Sripad Shankaracharya has given special stress to the study of Vedanta philosophy. Vedanta Vakyeshu Sadaramantah Kaupi Navantah Kalu Bhagyavantaha. A sannyasi, accepting the renounced order very strictly and wearing nothing more than a loincloth, should always enjoy the philosophical statements in the Vedanta Sutra. Such a person in the renounced order is to be considered very fortunate. The Mayavadis in Varanasi blasphemed Lord Chaitanya because his behavior did not follow these principles. Lord Chaitanya, however, bestowed his mercy upon these Mayavadi sannyasis and delivered them by means of his Vedanta discourses with Prakashananda Saraswati and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sanyasi haiya kori gayana na channa na kori vedanta patta kori sankirtana. The blasphemer said, although a sannyasi, he does not take interest in the study of Vedanta, but instead always engages in chanting and dancing in sankirtan. Om Gyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vansha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So with all your permission, I will try and say something appropriate on today's verse and purport. Who here is doing the Christmas marathon? You feeling stress? No? Good. Actually, you know, there was one time, a devotee Prabhupada disciple called Pundarik, and he was in... It was either Singapore, Japan, or Korea. I forget where. And he describes how they had a party there and they were doing very intense service. They were collecting for fundraising for the temples to be built in India. And they found the service very strenuous and difficult. And so one of them wrote to Prabhupada in such a way as to try and get Prabhupada to reply that they should come out of the country. He was trying to explain that this is too hard. And Prabhupada wrote back, he said, you should understand that I am happy when my devotees are struggling in the service of Krishna. So this is the struggle. Without a struggle, there is no victory. Victory only comes after struggle. Without struggle, the victory is not sweet. It's the same in the spiritual world. When there is a struggle, Radha and Krishna, they must struggle to have each other's association. And without that separation, the union is not so sweet. So it's the same for spiritual life. When we're trying to become spiritually advanced, then it's very appropriate that we try very hard and we put ourselves in a situation where we're under a bit of strain, because by doing so, we can overcome our limits and we can make spiritual advancement. I remember one time I was in India for 3 months around the year 2000. So I came back from India just in time for the Sydney Christmas Marathon, which in those days was Lakshmi Collection. We were selling Jagannath stickers, or we had a bucket doing Food for Life at the time. So, as those who have been to India know, it's a different world there. It's a lot slower. Plus, due to the heat and the constant risk of infection, generally our bodies get weak in India. So coming from India to a Christmas marathon, I was physically and mentally not prepared for it. So after a few days, I just said to the temple president, I can't do this anymore. So he said to me, come to my office. So I went to his office, and I was expecting sympathy from him, but he didn't give me any sympathy at all. He said to me, you know, if you want to make spiritual advancement, I can tell you how to do it. He said, you should go and do Sankirtan until your body breaks down. So I was a bit shocked, and but actually it jolted me out of my bodily platform, and at least for a few weeks, I went out every day for long hours, and somehow I managed to be very focused. So I was kind of thinking it was a good a lesson, because up to that point in Krishna consciousness, I'd never really tried that hard. After all, it was volunteer organization, you know, why try too hard? But just for that month, I tried very hard, and I definitely noticed it changed my whole attitude towards Krishna consciousness. So this, like for example, we have the spiritual warriors. So this kind of the warrior mentality is very good for spiritual life, because it helps us control our senses. I just thought I'd say this, you know, it's in Because it's hard, you know, if you're doing the marathon after 1 week and you're thinking all the another several weeks to go, and it can be quite difficult. So good luck to all the collectors and all the distributors. So today's verse is describing the criticism that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received from the Mayavadis. So their objection was that as a sannyasi, the duty was to study the Vedanta. There's one statement, Vedanta Patana Jnana Sannyasira Dharma. The actual dharma of a sannyas is to study the Vedanta Sutra and to meditate. So in Varanasi, Prakashananda Sarasvati and his 60,000 disciples, they were practicing this. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he passed through Varanasi on the way to Vrindavan. And he received criticism from these Mayavadis. Now at the time he did nothing. He went to Vrindavan and he came back. But when he came back, he stayed at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. And there Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapana Mishra, they were very distressed because they didn't want to hear all the blasphemy in connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they desired that he would sort these Mayavadis out. He would correct their mentality. Now just at that time, by divine arrangement, a brahmana came and he said, I've invited all the sannyasis to my house, please you come. So Mahaprabhu accepted that offer. And by doing so, by coming in contact with these Mayavadis, he was able to deliver them and give them bhakti. So, of course, when we ask, why is this particular pastime being described in Adi Leela chapter 7. The chapter is called Lord Chaitanya and Five Features. Well, the way the story develops is that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he describes the Panchatattva and then he explains how the mood of the Panchatattva was to give love of God to everyone, regardless of qualification. Patra patra vichara nahi nahi stana stana. There was no consideration of who was an appropriate recipient of mercy. Everyone was eligible to receive the mercy because there was no preliminary qualification. And that distinguishes the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the mood of Krishna. Krishna's mood was Sarva Dharmam Parichaja Mami Kam Sharanam Braja. First of all, you surrender. Then, if you surrender, then I will give you Raga Marg, the path of spontaneous devotion. Krishna gives the path of spontaneous devotion. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also gives the path of spontaneous devotion. But the difference is, there is no preliminary qualification. You do not need to first of all surrender. You will receive the mercy anyway. So then, Kaviraj Goswami explains that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the mercy, there were certain groups who were not eager to take the mercy. In fact, they were expert in avoiding the mercy. Now, does anyone know which groups they were? Impersonalists. That's one group. Any other ones? Buddhists. One of the groups is called Pashandis, non-believers. Now, a Buddhist is considered a non-believer, so I will give you that. It wasn't in the actual. There's a verse, several Mayavadis, yes. Muslims, yes. Okay, we're not doing well here. No. False logicians. Now, are you looking at that on the? Okay, then. Then that's the only one you're allowed. Okay, Kutarkika Gana, false logicians. There's the Karma Nishta, fruit of workers. They were expert in avoiding the mercy. Paduya Adhama, the fallen students. Pashandi, we had Nindakas, blasphemers. And Mayavadis. So what was the tactic of Mahaprabhu to deliver those people? What did he do to deliver them? Took sannyas, yes, exactly. Is that a good reason to take sannyas? To deliver others? Very good reason, right? karmana manasagira. If one engages one's mind, body, and activities in the service of the Lord, then that is sannyas. It's the only reason. What if you want to get married? Would you still do it? If someone wants to get married, but in order to deliver people, they understand that by taking sannyas, I will be given respect, should they do it? Yes, okay. So there are other reasons for taking. Sannyas should be taken according to other reasons as well. This is like a tactic, but one also should be within one's heart a sannyasi. Otherwise, it will be a mockery. Anyway. So, when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, nearly all these groups, they actually surrendered because they had respect for sannyas. So by bowing down to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they automatically received great Agyata Sukriti. And ultimately, they became flooded with love of God. But still, the Mayavadis, they were still avoiding. Because they were sannyasis as well, and they thought they knew better. It's interesting that you mentioned the Muslims. So it said that the Yavanas and the Malechas, they also surrendered, and they actually developed love of God. So it's easier for them to develop love of God than it was for the Mayavadis. It's an interesting point. Now, it's very difficult to convert Muslims. At the moment, I'm reading the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So there's one chapter about Muslims. So basically, the Gaudiya Math, they had very little to do with the Muslims. They made very little effort to convert them, because what they found was, if they did get involved, then it would tend to lead to violence. So they left them. They spent more of the time trying to convert the intelligentsia, based on the principle, yajat acharate shrestas tadat evetaro jana. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. So this is a good tactic. It worked well for the British. How did the British conquer India? They conquered the intellectuals, the Indian intellectuals. And then the Indian masses, they look up to the intellectuals, and then they decided, well, the intellectuals of India are accepting the British, therefore we will as well. That was their policy. So that was, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he received a lot of criticism for this. Because Pandita Samadarshinaha, the spiritually advanced person, the pundit, should see with equal vision. On one occasion, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was challenged like this. No, you're only preaching to the intelligent. Why are you not preaching to everyone? And he replied, he goes, why are you not seeing me with equal vision? Why are you criticizing me? Turned it back on him. You should be Samadarshana. Why are you not seeing me with equal vision? So his policy is controversial. And the Gaudiya Mats, they would be furnished with the same kind of furniture that the aristocracy would have. So the environment was created in such a way as to attract that particular group of people. So that was the policy. So the Muslims, very difficult to convert, very little effort made. But we see, due to the potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the Muslims converted, but not the Mayavadis. So why is it the Mayavadis are so difficult to convert? What is it? Why are they so difficult to convert? Any reasons? Envy of Krishna, yes. It's very deep-seated envy of Krishna. We're all envious, yeah. So that's actually a good point. We're all envious, so why in particular the Mayavadis? They're offenders, yeah. They think that there's actually a statement. If one does not consider the transcendental form of the Lord, one is a Pashandi. Or one does not accept the transcendental form, one is Pashandi. Now, and in this verse, Prabhupada translates Pashandi as a agnostic. In the purport, he explains that impersonalists, and he usually includes Christians, Muslims, because they do not accept the deity form of the Lord, they are Pashandi. It's interesting how Prabhupada Normally he translates Pashundi as atheist, but here he translates it as agnostic. I'm wondering why he's doing that. He might not want to go as far as to say that Christians and Muslims are atheists, but they're agnostic, meaning they do not have knowledge of the transcendental form of the Lord. You were going to say something. They think they're God, yeah. That's a very good answer. The Nishapanasad, those on the path of so-called knowledge, their destination is even worse than those on the path of ignorance. So it's better to be just a sense enjoyer than to be someone who teaches false philosophy. There's one statement back to Siddhanta Saraswati. He says that the greatest way to glorify and bring about the appearance of the absolute is through the negative approach. What that means is, if you want to receive the mercy of the Lord, you want to bring about the appearance of the Lord, you should dedicate your life to defeating the false philosophies. And that more so than simply discussing Krishna Katha. Now one may think, well, it's external. Like Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Paschachadesha Tarane. Srila Prabhupada came and he gave this mantra to deliver the Western world from impersonalism and voidism. You may think that that's external, but actually according to the statement of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, this is the greatest way to glorify the Lord. So simply through that defeat of Mayavad, Krishna is present, Krishna is pleased, Krishna is glorified, even more so than discussing the Rasa Panchajaya of the 10th canto, the Rasa dance pastimes. So this is how the Lord works. He loves it because you're clearing the path. Mayavad is an obstacle. It comes between us and Krishna. The devotional path is obscured by Mayavad philosophy. Therefore, it's the greatest enemy to bhakti. So I was thinking another answer, why the Mayavadis are so difficult to deliver. And it's a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it appears at the beginning of the chapter on intelligentsia in the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It's described that because intelligent people, they have this abhiman, I am intelligent, it makes it very difficult for them to surrender to the Lord, and it's very difficult for them to receive mercy. If you think you're great, then that makes it very difficult to surrender to the Lord. You're like a competitor to the Lord. As Queen Kunti says, Janmaishvarya Shurta Sribir, Edamana Madapuman, Naiva Hart Jabidatumvai, Twama Kinchina Gocharam. If one has opulence, good education, high birth, and beauty, yes. If one has any of those four things, then it's very difficult to sincerely call out to the Lord, who is a Kinchana Gochara. He is captured by those who are destitute. If you find yourself in a destitute position, you're a very good candidate for the mercy of the Lord because you have no other support, therefore you will surrender. So Mayavadis, because they were so puffed up, they thought they knew so much about Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, still they did not respect him. So what happened? He accepted the invitation from the Brahmana in Varanasi, and he sat where the shoe rack is, right? Where other people take the shoes off. He sat down there, and he manifested an effulgence like a million suns. So immediately the Mayavadis were very amazed by this, and very attracted. He's a very attractive personality. You know, when we say Sango Pangastra Parshadaya, when the Lord comes, he comes with his associates and his astra. So what is his astra? When the Lord comes, what is his astra? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not have an astra. Beauty is his astra, yes. In another lecture I heard, Prabhupada said, his astra is the holy name. Another answer. He says, in Kali Yuga, everyone is practically dead already. so you can't kill them with a real Astra. But you kill the demoniac consciousness. So that is the Astra of the Holy Name. So if someone blasphemes, please do not cut out their tongue. I know it says in the scriptures you should do that. You should consider the Astra of the Holy Name. Chant Nitai Goranga. Or walk away. Otherwise you'll get into trouble. So, yeah, so he Tanumapra was manifesting this effulgence, attracted the Mayavadis. And then they said to him, why are you sitting where the shoes are? And he said, well, I am of a lower order of sannyas. He's very humble. So they were very endearing, this was very endearing behavior. So they asked Tanumapra, you know, please, you know, you're very wonderful, we really like you, but we have this doubt. Why is it that you're engaged in bhavuka activity? Shishirada gokulanandaki chai. They said to him, Vedanta patana jana sanyasira dharma taha chadik kore kena bhavukera karma. The duty of the sannyas is to study Vedanta Sutra and to meditate, but you've given that up and you're engaged in bhavuka activity. So bhavuka means sentimental activity. Now in the purport it's described as taryika. Let's see if I can get it right. No, it's taryatrika. It's an unusual word. I checked in the folio, it appears in the Chaitanya Bhagavad as well. What it means is dancing, chanting and playing musical instruments. So generally these activities are considered low class. If you consider the Varnashram system, then musicians, their category is considered to be Shudra. So the Mayavadis, they had this misconception that if you're glorifying the Lord like as a musician, then that's Shudra-like activity. It's a lot better to study elevated philosophy. That was their misconception. Now in this connection, there's one Prabhupada disciple, Vrindavaneshwari, and in the Prabhupada Memory Series, she describes how, on one occasion, Prabhupada said there are three ways to transcend the body. Dancing, chanting, and playing musical instruments. So this is the activity which is considered to be low class. But actually, when it's done in the service of Krishna, it is the highest. It is the highest activity. And it is the essence of Vedanta. Now, when Mahaprabhu was discussing with the Mayavadis, his reply was, my guru, he told me I was a fool. Tumi murka, tamara nahika vedanta dikar, krishna mantra japasada e mantra sar. He said, my spiritual master said, I am the fool and I'm not qualified to study Vedanta. He told me, simply chant Hare Krishna. It is the essence of all mantras. So what happened? Mahaprabhu took this advice. Of course, at that time he wasn't a sannyas. But he, of course, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there was nothing that he is lacking in any way. But in his pastime of playing the role of a devotee, he chants and then he becomes mad. So he returned to his guru and said, what is this mantra you've given me? I am going mad. It is covering my knowledge. And Ishvara Puri is very pleased. He said, oh, I am so obliged to you. You're very fortunate. This is the quality of this Maha Mantra. Simply by chanting, one develops love of God. And then he quoted a verse from the 11th canto that describes the essence of the Bhagavatam. Evamvrata svapriya nama kircha jatandu rago druta chita uchai hasachato roditi rauti gayat yun madhavan richiti loka bahyaha. When one chants the holy names of the Lord, one develops a particular attraction for certain names. And through chanting those names, one dances, one sings, one cries, one laughs, and one becomes disturbed. One becomes like a madman, not caring for public opinion. So that was the answer that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to the Mayavadis. Why are you doing bhavuka karma? So the word bhavuka, now this is an interesting word because it appears in the third verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha. Those who are bhavuka, they're expert in spiritual science, they relish the Srimad Bhagavatam over and over again. So the actual word bhavuka means someone who's spiritually advanced. It is a scientific word. It is not simply a sentimentalist. It doesn't simply mean sentimentalism. But the Mayavadis, they did not understand this point. They considered bhavuka just means someone who's sentimental. So they considered dancing and chanting to be sentimental activity. But if we consider the words of Ishvara Puri, he has said that the essence of Bhagavatam is that we dance and chant and laugh like a madman. That is the essence of the Bhagavatam. But what is the Bhagavatam? Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyati. The Bhagavatam is the essence of Vedanta Sutra. So as Prabhupada points out in the purport, actually by dancing and chanting, we are fulfilling our obligation to study Vedanta. Because dancing and chanting is the essence of the Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam is the essence of Vedanta Sutra. And Prabhupada in the purport, he explains this with the term Basyo Yam Brahma Sutranam. The Bhagavatam is the natural commentary of the Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, his answer is very, very appropriate. So, actually this is the problem. It's not only the Mayavadis that thought this. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated the Sankirtan in Navadvip, the Hindus, they also thought that this chanting and dancing is not Hindu Dharma. The reason why the Chankazi stopped the Sankirtan was not because he was disliking so much. The reason was because the Hindus complained and they said, you know, why are you allowing this Nimai to do this dancing and chanting on the street? This is not our Dharma. So at that time, of course we know the story that Lord Nrisimhadev came and pinned down the Chankazi. So after that, he did not interfere with the Sankirtan party. So at that point, Lord Chaitanya came and he said to the Chankazi, he said, why are you allowing us to perform the Hindu Dharma? He used the term Hindu Dharma. He was referring to the Sankirtan. He wanted to know, why have you changed? First of all, you break the Madangas, now you're allowing us to do the activity. So at that point, Chankazi explained about how he'd received a visit from a lion who was very fierce and who scared him. So we see this, the dancing and chanting, because by nature it appears very sentimental, that there will always be opposition to it. I mean, I remember one time on Saturday night, Harinam, actually Ruben was there at the time, maybe you remember, I was leading the kirtan just in Leicester Square, just towards the end of Leicester Square, and then this woman came, she was obviously Asian, and then she started looking at me going, what are you doing? What are you doing? You can't do this. And she had some understanding of Hinduism, and then she just couldn't understand why we were chanting on the street. So I said, what do you mean we can't do it? We're doing it. We're supposed to do it. So, and I tried to get into a discussion with her, but at that point, Ruben interrupted me and said, come on, let's keep chanting. Because the whole kirtan has stopped. So I just carried on chanting. But anyway, so people still think that public chanting isn't good. And unfortunately, I mean, if you consider the Gaudiya Math, it's actually incredible that even amongst the followers of Lord Chaitanya, this relegation of Sankirtan is still going on. I mean, we expect it from people who are not followers of Lord Chaitanya, but even amongst the followers of Lord Chaitanya, we see an indifference to Sankirtan. And it's very disturbing. I mean, we should understand, I mean, this is very clear, this pastime is very clear. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that chanting and dancing is the essence of the Bhagavatam, it's the essence of Vedanta Sutra, and it is the highest activity. And you may consider studying high philosophy, high Vedanta, to be higher than that. But actually, in terms of realization, all the realization you get from dancing and chanting, that will help you to understand the real meaning of Vedanta. If you consider the example of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So he was a great Vedantist. So for 7 days, he is telling Nimai. Actually, he wasn't Nimai, he was already sannyas by then, Lord Chaitanya. He was telling him for 7 days his understanding of Vedanta, according to Shankaracharya. And Lord Chaitanya was just not saying anything. He was very quiet. So after 7 days, he said, "Why are you not saying something? I can't understand if you've understood or not." And Mahaprabhu said, "Well, I understand the Vedanta Sutra very perfectly, but when I hear your commentary, it doesn't make any sense to me." So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he converted, now he's the judge here because he's been on both sides. He was the great Mayavadi, then he becomes a devotee. So his comment was, "Tarka Shastri Jada Ami Yaichi Lauha Pinda." Because of reading too much dry philosophy, I've become dull like an iron bar. That was his comment. We also, there was another pastime where Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, they're splashing in the water, having fun. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Gopinathacharya, said, "Tell them to stop. You know, they're elevated scholars. What is this activity?" At which point Gopinathacharya replied, "They've received a drop of your mercy. That is why they're behaving like this." So if you receive just a little drop of bhakti, then the mountains of false pride, false scholarship are immediately destroyed. It's actually useless. It's like you're like the ass. The ass is carrying a load. So if you study so much, too much dry shastra, you're like the ass. It's a burden. It's of no use. It does not help you. So this is the actual position. So as I was mentioning, when Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati left the planet, then so much fighting took place between the God brothers, and they were fighting for the property. Now, at that time, the main philosopher, the greatest, was the devotee that was considered the greatest, was Ananta Vasudev, great philosopher. And one camp were supporting him. But then the great manager was a devotee called Kunja Bihari. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was very appreciative of both their contributions. He said that Kunja Bihari, he's like serving the Vapu of the spiritual master, the body, because he's doing management. Management is like serving the body of the spiritual master. Ananta Vasudev, he was into just the Bhagavad Dharma, wasn't involved in management. So he was serving the Vapu of the instruction, or the Vani, the instruction. So they both had a different way of serving the spiritual master. But after Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati left, they fought against each other for control over various Gaudiya Math centers. And the astonishing thing that was that Kunja Bihari, he sold the printing press in order to pay for legal fees. I mean, this is happening. I mean, it's inconceivable how someone can do such a thing. But it's like even the Nam Sankirtan, even within ISKCON, it's been sidelined, it's been relegated. It's like, it's the first thing that you don't do. If you're busy, the first thing you do is, well, we won't do Harinam Sankirtan. Other things are more important. So we see this mentality, but we should understand that dancing and chanting is not simply an activity that we do until we graduate from it, until maybe we get married, we have a career, we do something better, or we become a manager. No, the actual essence of the Bhagavat, as explained time and time again, is the dancing and the chanting. So dancing, it appears like frivolous activity, but actually it's very, very scientific. So Krishna, before Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was thinking, for so long I have not given the Unnatochvala Rasa so Bhakti Shriyam. I've not given that treasure of the conjugal ras. Therefore he decided, Yuga Dharma Parvartaimu Nama Sankitam Chari Bhava Bhakti Diye Nachamu Bhuvana. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He's paraphrasing what Lord Krishna was thinking. He said, "I will come and establish the Nam Sankirtan. I will give the four bhavs, and make the world dance. Chari Bhav. Chari Bhava Bhakti means the four bhavs. So what are the four bhavs he's referring to? Sakyaras, Dasya Sakya, Valsalya and Madhurya. Yes. Why not Shantaras? There is no personal interaction in Shantaras. Therefore, Vaishnavs pay very little regard to Shantaras. Yes. So this is science. He's coming to give four bhavs. He's not dancing and chanting just for frivolous reasons, because of stupidity. Four bhavs. So this is the science of devotional service. I mentioned before, bhavuka. Bhavuka means one who knows these bhavs. If you read the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami has very clearly delineated the whole path of devotional service, how we develop to the point of preliminary love of God, which is referred to as sthayi bhav, a fixed emotion that we have, which is inherent within us. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sajja Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitti Karayudaya. It is eternally established within our heart, but it is awakened through Shravanadi, which means the ninefold processes of devotional service, which includes chanting Hare Krishna. So this Chari Bhav, it's not just some sentiment, it's an actual scientific process of self-realization. And from developing our preliminary love of God, then we continue the process and we develop prema. The difference between prema and bhava, bhava is preliminary love, prema is full-blown love of God. The difference is, well, Mahaprabhu compares it to yogurt when you add pepper, sugar, camphor, and ghee. So if you consider the yogurt to be like the sthayi bhav, we have a fixed emotion for Krishna, like yogurt. But the yogurt becomes more palatable when we add four other ingredients: pepper, sugar, camphor, and ghee. So these four ingredients, they are compared to vibhav, anubhav, sattvika bhav, and vyabhichari bhav. And these four ingredients, when they are added to the sthayi bhav, then that's what creates rasa. Rasa meaning the platform of prema. So the sthayi bhav, or the fixed emotion, becomes even more relishable when the vibhav, which means the cause of love, like the udipana, the stimulus for love, the anubhav, which means subsequent emotions, sattvika bhav, the eightfold ecstatic symptoms, and the other one is vyabhichari bhav, which means those emotions which are very fleeting, they come and go. So we all have to come to the platform where we'll experience this. And what are the symptoms of someone who is experiencing that? Unmadavan richati lokabayaha. A person will dance like a madman. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that on many occasions, including in the Ratha Yatra. He was dancing like a madman, falling unconscious. King Prataparudra picked him up and he falsely chastised him. I'd been touched by a king, by a Vishayi, a materialist, but actually this was mercy on the king. So the point is that we should understand that the complaint of the Mayavadis that Sankirtan is inferior to Vedantapat is completely of no foundation. That is the ultimate conclusion of this verse, Hare Krishna.